So I learned, again, stay liquid, get my money out of that prison. Don't lock it up in 401ks. Don't lock it up in your house, right? Those kind of things. Keep it liquid, keep it available to use. And then, of course, make sure you pay yourself first, right? Like, get profitable and then pay yourself first.
If you're a real estate investor who's sick and tired of living deal to deal, then welcome home. Hear from everyday real estate investors just like you and discover how they've completely transformed their business by taking a profit-first approach. This is the Profit First for REI podcast, where we believe revenue is vanity, profit is sanity. It's time to start making profit a habit in your business. So here's your host, David Richter.
If you want to become smarter financially, really knowing where your money's going or where in the world you can get that help, I have a great guest for you today, Chris Miles. We've had him on before, but this time he really dives deep into not just his background, but like the thought process a lot of people have around money and what his thought process was. And then we also go into how can you pay yourself twice in your business and really utilizing passive income in your business to get you the freedom you really want. It's a great episode. If you've been following me for any amount of time, this is one that can really help you get to that next level. Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode. Hey, give Chris Miles again here. Super excited to have Chris back on. He is the anti-financial guru out there. I love your stance out there of like just the traditional financial people that try and help people. But I like how you put it, the salesman in suits. You've got a lot of the great one-liners from that industry. And I'm just excited to have you back on because I think this is always a relevant topic. So thanks for being here, Chris.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be back on, David. I know we're going to have fun today. That's for sure.
Fun. That's for sure. Cause we get to talk about money and we get to talk about the sometimes the sides that people don't go down or they should be going down, but like they don't. Cause you came from a traditional background, right? Where you were, you know, the traditional financial advisor in that role, correct?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I started off I didn't know anything special about money going into that industry because, you know, I went to college, but college doesn't teach you squat, right? But I knew I wanted to be a business owner. I knew that I didn't want to be the kind of guy that works a 9-to-5 and someone tells me how much money I could make. So I went into business and all I knew about money was save it all, spend nothing. I was like the ultra penny pincher because that's what my dad was. And that's what he taught me to do, right? He would be like Dave Ramsey's older brother that Dave Ramsey said, I should be like him someday. And then he did, you know? So I was doing that. I was a financial advisor. I taught that same thing of like, you know, spend nothing, save everything, save it forever. And hopefully someday you'll have something, right?
Yeah.
And I did that for 4 years. And of course, after 4 years, then my dad came to me and said, Chris, when you become my financial advisor? So I sat down with him, sat at his kitchen table, the same one where he told me to be cheap and to save lots of money. You know, sat down at his kitchen table and I'm looking at everything for the first time in my life because he never wanted to show his money, right? He was always very guarded with it. Yeah. And I'm seeing that he'd stuffed money in his 401k for decades. He'd paid off his house early. He was totally 100% debt free. And after I looked at it, I said, Dad, you're 61 years old right now, but if you want to retire today, you better hope you die in 5 years because that's when you're going to run out of money. Hmm. He said, okay, well, what else can I do then? I don't want that option. You know, give me another option. I said, I don't know, because you did everything right. According to what I teach as a financial advisor, you actually have been saving. You've been, you know, you paid off all your debt. Like Dave Ramsey says, you should be free. Like you should be on his radio screaming right now, freedom to Braveheart music, right? Like you should be doing that. And it's just not enough. And so it bugged me because I realized that he was kind of the inspiration for me to go into that industry in the first place, because I figured worst case scenario, even if that business didn't work out, I would learn about money. And then maybe I can give him some of the years of his life back, because he would always tell me, he says, Chris, I'm going to die working. I know that the stress of this job will literally kill me, because he had strokes in his 40s, heart attacks in his 50s, and now he's 61 years old and he can't retire. So I was bugged and I didn't know what to do. And I remember a few weeks later, I called up a friend who I trained to be a financial advisor, but then he went to go do this crazy thing called real estate investing. And so he's going doing flips and stuff. And I thought for sure, oh, this guy's probably broke. Maybe he'll beg me for a job to work with me again. Exact opposite situation came out of it, because he told me, he says, Chris, listen, like my life is amazing. He's like, my dad and I have partnered on some deals and we've now doubled his income as a professor at the local university.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, come on, that's too good to be true. There's no way you could do that. Stock market's better than real estate. You know, all that kind of crap, right? That you hear from financial advisors. And finally, he stopped me. He says, Chris, how many of your clients are actually financially free where they don't worry about money? I said, well, they all worry about money. Even the retired ones, they always worry they're going to outlive their money. Okay, good job, Chris. Way to help nobody. Okay, how about this? How many of you guys are financially free as financial advisors, not off the commissions you're earning, but actually doing these mutual fund investments? And as I was really honest with myself, there's probably over 100 people in our office, and I knew that there's some of them have been working there since the late 1970s and still couldn't retire. And I said, well, maybe none of them. There's your problem, Chris. And so that all of a sudden I popped the little matrix red pill, the real estate red pill, right? Went down that rabbit hole and realized there's this whole other world of alternative investing that could actually make more money with less, right? You can make better cash flow and income with real estate, even if you're on the passive side, let alone be on the active side, but even on the passive side, where even if you're just somebody lending your money to active real estate investors, you can still make more than being in the stock market. And after that, I couldn't make it work. I couldn't make it work anymore where I could stay in integrity and keep working as a financial advisor. So I quit. A few months later, I said, I'm done. I'll never teach about money again. I'll just be a ballroom dancer. I'll teach ballroom dancing and I'll do mortgages. Because in 2006, anybody could be a mortgage broker. So that's what I did, you know. But the cool thing is later that next year, I was able to retire myself when I was 28, almost 29 years old, doing these same strategies of passive income and things like that. And got to the point where I was work optional, right? I was able to work because I wanted to, not because I have to. And by the way, I've learned retirement is overrated. It sucks. Doing nothing is not a cool plan for life. So I've realized that, you know, if you're going to do anything, do what you're passionate about. And I love teaching. And that's, I know you're the same way. Like, I know you love teaching as well. And that's kind of what pulled me out of retirement in 2007 and started teaching people how to do what I did, you know, of how to get out of the rat race. And even when the recession hit and I got hit hard, I went from millionaire to upside down millionaire during that time. I had to dig my way back out without filing for bankruptcy. And that's where Profit First really comes into handy, by the way. Huge especially before you get to those times, even better, by the way. But it's been a huge blessing to me and be able to come back from that and was able to be financially independent again by the end of 2016. And so that's my whole thing, is teach people how to break free of those chains and actually become work optional and follow their passions, wherever that might lead them.
I think there's a lot there that we could go down, lots of different rabbit holes, but I thought it was very interesting what you said up front. Like, you became a financial advisor, but really didn't know much about money. You know, they didn't teach you that in college, didn't teach you that, you know, anywhere else. So I guess that's a question I have, is what took you down the path of even becoming a financial advisor? Was it because of what your dad had taught you mostly growing up, like save, and then, you know, it's kind of that same plan, but now in a business form? So I don't know, but because it sounds funny too, because then you jump in, it doesn't sound like they're really teaching you as well, you know, like at the actual place that you're working too. So that was an interesting point. I know it was at the beginning, but can you speak to that a little bit of like jumping in that type of role?
You're right. Because like in high school, I was one of those weird nerds that took like banking classes, accounting and things like that, you know. College I didn't. I was a sociology major in college. With a triple minor in ballroom dancing, Japanese, and psychology. But my goal was to actually become a business consultant. That was what I was going to do. And so right before I was getting my bachelor's, I realized, I said, you know, I'm going to eventually transfer to another college, get my MBA, but do I have real life experience? If there's anything my dad taught me, was like, get real life experience in the real world, you know? So I said, all right, well, how am I going to do that? And so I actually took a sabbatical from college. I had one, not even a class. It was an independent study course where I was supposed to take my thesis, publish it in a journal, and we'd be done. So I had my thesis written. I just had to condense it, put it in a journal, and I would be done, right? But I took a break. I said, I should probably start some business. So I didn't know what business to start, but eventually I had a friend that we were chatting one day, and he just said, yeah, I just got hired by this financial firm, and it's really awesome. Like, I'm learning about money and all this and investing. And for whatever reason, I mean, it kind of intrigued me. And it could be because I remember I was probably like 7, 8 years old. If you ever remember the TV show in the 80s called Family Ties with Michael J. Fox, he was an economics major. And I remember, like, you know, somebody would drop money on the ground. He's like, 78 cents. Like, he would know like how much money dropped. And I was like, that's just kind of cool. So there was just something about money that intrigued me. Like, I even had like a little thing that you put dimes into that saves up to like $10, and I would take it to the bank, get it all rolled up. Like, just that stuff was fascinating to me about money. Like, I didn't know why, it just was intriguing. So when he told me that, you know, he got hired, I said, well, dude, get me an interview. And I didn't realize it was so hard. It's only because he was such a bad guy on the follow through and getting me connected that it took me so long. I thought I was having to impress them, bring in a resume. They take anybody off the street. As long as you could pass a test with 70% and you don't have a criminal record, you get hired in this industry, right? So I didn't know it was that easy. Like, there was such a low barrier of entry, but you know, I did it, you know, and eventually, of course, I think the thing I love about was being my own boss, being an entrepreneur. And that's why eventually that died out. When I realized what I was teaching and what I was really selling wasn't working, then I felt like I was a liar and a deceiver. And my integrity is number one. Like, I have to keep it intact. I can't BS anybody. I'm a horrible salesperson if I don't believe in it. Like, it's obvious. Right. So I have to make sure that I'm actually, you know, doing something that aligns with my integrity.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And it's just funny that, you know, all those things we've learned up to that point, it's like, it's not the real thing that helps us or other people, you know, get to it. And it feels like, yeah, we should be learning this stuff from these different places and we're not really learning it. I wanted to latch on a little bit to what you said about Profit First of like, okay, what would your life have looked at like before Profit First? Do you think you would have become an upside down millionaire if you would have had something like that in your life beforehand?
Yeah, I learned some big key lessons from the last recession. And when I say last recession, I'm not talking about COVID recession. I'm talking about like 2007 through 2009, right? The big thing I learned was you know, one, of course, that your ambition of your 20s can catch up to you in your 30s. Don't be all offense, all risk taking. For example, I had cash reserves. So I had money set aside thinking I was pretty smart. I didn't have enough reserves on the side. I know you see this a lot when you're working with on people's financial situations too, right? Is that you've got to have cash on the sidelines just in case. But I also wasn't monitoring what I was spending. So once I got to the point where I was out of the rat race and money was flowing in like oxygen, right? It's like you never count your number of breaths until the oxygen is taken away, and then every breath counts. Well, that's what happened with my money. When it was flowing in, I just got lazy. I stopped tracking how much was coming in, how much was going out. And it wasn't apparent until all of a sudden, I remember in 2007, like I noticed that my savings account balances were decreasing and my checking account balances were decreasing and my credit card balances started to increase. And when I really got honest with myself and monitored it, I found out I was in the hole $15,000 a month between my personal and my business life. So if you add those two together, you know, really I was like in the business, I was maybe bringing in like, and we were suffering because we were working with real estate flippers who were then suffering by mid 2007. And so I'm like, you know, we're only making like maybe $4,000 or $5,000 a month in the business, but my expenses were like $21,000-$22,000 a month. So I had it. I realized that I had to start really getting honest and seeing where I am. So tracking my money was number one. Number two was, of course, having a good reserves more than you think might be necessary. Hold on to it. And in fact, I've been building my reserves just like Warren Buffett is. Warren Buffett just got his own cash reserves, $167.6 billion. I mean, he was just end of 2022, he was at $125 billion. He's already increased it by over $40 billion in the last year. Why? Because he's waiting to pounce. He's not just doing it for protection's sake, but he's also doing it for opportunity's sake, right? He's waiting for some of these better opportunities to show up because people don't have cash, right? So that's a big thing. The other thing I learned too was really follow your gut, you know? That's the big thing too, is like, make sure you're following your gut. If something doesn't feel right, don't go for it just because you can make a lot of money, right? And I tell you, I got into bad habits because, you know, being in the hole, $15,000 a month. I mean, obviously digging out of that hole was pretty tough, but then after that, the hard thing I had was paying myself, because then I was just like, well, I just got to pay off debt. So I also was over aggressive in paying off debt. In fact, even before the recession, I had thrown a ton of money into the equity of my mortgage, right? Into my house, not realizing that I wouldn't be able to get out later. Because in 2006, 2007, as a mortgage broker, you think, well, they'll give a loan to anybody.
Right.
So if I ever need that money, I just pull it back out, but I can just stuff it in equity, just like Dave Ramsey says, pay down the house. Worst case, I get a cash out refi. Well, what happens if the banks are hurting so bad, they won't even let you do a cash out refi, especially if you're a business owner? That's a big deal. So I learned, again, stay liquid, get my money out of that prison. Don't lock it up in 401ks. Don't lock it up in your house, right? Those kind of things. Keep it liquid, keep it available to use. And then of course, make sure you pay yourself first, right? Like, get profitable and then pay yourself first. And I love what Mike Michalowicz had said when we were at a meeting together, you know, like where he said, you know, listen, if you guys are always reinvesting money in your business, you're not profitable. Like, you're just spending money. You know, profit. Yeah. For someone with profit takes that money home. They don't just keep shoving money back in the business. Even though in early on it might be necessary to a degree, still take profit home. I think that's so important.
Yeah, which is funny. It's like for-profit business, like, we got to make sure we're profitable first of all. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people lost sight of that or have lost sight of that. And I think it goes back to what you even said. Like, where'd you learn this stuff? Like, where do you learn the basics of, especially business finance? It's like, maybe it's a little bit more complicated, but not that much more complicated, at least at the foundational level of like, okay, like the plan of just saving, not spending doesn't work in business either. You know, so it's like the two extremes where you spend all the money and you don't have any there, or if you're just saving it all and you can't get to where you really want to. It's like, I really think that ties into what you said up front, that I became a financial advisor, went down this road, and I really, no one ever had taught me any of this stuff really about how money works. So it's, why I like what you said too. You're a teacher. That's why you now teach. You know, retirement is boring because, like, retirement, you're not doing anything. At least now you get to teach. You get to help other people with a lot of this mindset and this mentality. And I love what you do. So beforehand, you had mentioned a couple items like that you could talk about. And I really want to talk about one or two of those. How about paying yourself twice from your business? Like, how can investors, because obviously I resonate with the pay yourself first, but I really like this. Okay, how do you pay yourself twice, you know, in your business? So that, I think that was a very interesting topic, especially with what we've gone down so far.
Yeah, a lot of people hear that and they mix up two different things together. There's two strategies I use hand in hand. It's almost like this 1-2 punch, right? Yeah. One is investing for passive income, right? Which is huge. That's why like taking profit is so important, because one common problem I see with business owners, and I know you do too, right? Is that they create their own rat race within their business.
Oh yeah.
You know, and some, and especially they just keep quote unquote reinvesting in their business. They keep doing that over and over. They generate more revenue, but what happens for their freedom at home? Like, can they ever really walk away from that business? Right. And there's business systems, of course, you got to have, but at the same time, like, they never really take that profit. I like to take that profit and then invest it to generate passive income. And that's why I go in the real estate route, because it's a real asset. It's not like Bitcoin, which is a bunch of crap, you know. Like, again, I have some, but I gamble with Bitcoin. I don't invest in Bitcoin, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You know, same thing with the stock market. Like, stock market to me, like, even though I used to teach people how to trade stocks and options, I did it myself. Still, I don't even like to touch stocks and options, especially right now where the market's just ridiculously overbought, you know. So I stay more in the real estate game where I have real assets and it generates real income. Now, one thing I can do as well, and this even works whether you're doing real estate or not, but this strategy that helps enhance the, throw a little extra fuel in the fire, it's called infinite banking, where you can essentially get like what's called like a whole life insurance policy, right? So not your typical term insurance, death insurance, that doesn't work. That's just death insurance. But whole life, it does have death insurance, but it also has this tax-free savings account that's a part of it that you can use that pays you more than 0.0% like the bank does. Tax-free. So, and by the way, you never get a tax form, which for me lately, the less tax forms, the better. I'll tell you that much.
Yes.
I just hate tax time because I have to pay taxes. It's because of all the filings, right? Yes. All the tax forms you get from all the investments and everything else coming in, including my own business. You know, the business, the P&L is the easy part because I keep up on that at least weekly, you know?
Yep.
But man, everything else, tax forms suck. But at least this one thing I don't get taxed on. I never have a tax form for it. So it pays you more than 0.0%. It never gets taxed. It's also 100% protected from lawsuits and creditors in case of, you know, lawsuits. In case somebody wins and sues you and they win, they can't get this money. They can get to your savings account. They can get to almost all your investments, but they cannot get to this money in most states. There's a few states like California that suck, but most of them, you can't get to it. And so for this reason, so that alone, just protecting my money, if I'm going to hold it in reserves, especially for my emergencies and things like that, if I'm going to stay liquid, I can keep it there, make much more than 0.0% at the bank and get taxed on that 0.0%. But here's the cool thing. It can also not just be used for a defensive position, but it can be used for offense. Whether I'm using it for business, whether I'm using it for investing or whatever it might be, I can also get a line of credit against the cash that's in this policy. So just like you get a home equity line of credit against the equity of your home, you can get a line of credit from the insurance company or from a bank, but insurance companies are cheaper right now. Get a line of credit from them where you can use that money from the insurance company to go and use it however you want. You can blow it in Vegas, technically. I don't recommend it. It's not a great strategy, but you could. But you can invest it anywhere. If you invest in your business, the cool thing is you still get the tax write-off. See, the problem is people like stuff money in 401ks and IRAs, and then you're like, well, my number one investment is my business. Well, you just now raped and pillaged your money away from your business to put in something that's locked in prison you can never get to. If you ever say, well, I want to use my IRA for my business. No, you can't. Right. They won't let you, right? Unless you buy a franchise, they won't let you use that money. And so it's locked away, investing in all these other crappy companies you have no control over that you make a worse return on. It's like high risk, mediocre returns when you can have that money in your business. Well, what if I could keep this money liquid, but also use it in my business where I'm making money in my business too? So not only, here's what's cool, because you get that line of credit from the insurance company, you don't pull the money out of your account. Your money's still all there, compounding, this compounding interest tax-free, while you're using their money to go and invest in your business and make whatever returns you make in your business. You actually make money in two places at once. Now, the lie you might hear, you hear a lot of these guys that are like infinite bankers out there. Right. They'll say, oh, you pay yourself back. That's a bunch of BS. Like, you literally do pay the insurance company interest, just like you would a bank. But here's the cool part. You pay it back however, whenever you want. There is no monthly payment like you would get with a home equity line of credit or a business line of credit. There's no, you know, you always have to pay monthly income on that, even if you haven't seen the results. So if you go invest in marketing, for example, it takes 9 months to get that turnaround time on your marketing. You're paying for that money in the meantime. You're losing money. But right. Here, they'll charge you interest, but there's no minimum payment on it. So you can pay it back however, whenever you want. The deadline for paying back that loan is your death. And guess what pays off that loan? Your death benefit.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then the rest of it pays your family tax-free anyways. So
yeah.
It's kind of nice to be able to have that flexibility, that protection of my money, but it can play offense and defense at the same time. But yeah, the hardest part that I see out there is that most of these guys are infinite bankers. What most people don't realize is that you actually overpay on insurance costs. And this is probably why, if you've ever looked into it as a business owner, it hasn't made sense because, well, one, they tell you to lock the money away in there forever. Don't use it. Just let it sit there forever, right? And until you're going to retire, then it becomes tax-free income, which is true. It's tax-free. It could do that. But, and then there's even others that say you can invest in real estate, but still they'll charge you too much in commissions and fees, insurance costs, which is where their commissions come from. And as a result, it takes longer to grow your money. And so you don't get this good ROI on it. And the whole reason in 2017, even though I've been licensed since 2002, right? So 22 years now. The whole reason I came out of retirement the second time to then bring it in house in our company is because I couldn't find any friends to refer to that was going to do it right. Because anytime I referred to somebody, they would always figure out a way to charge more in costs, insurance costs, so that they could pay higher commissions because that's how they make their money. I didn't need it. So I'm like, I'm already financially free. I don't need a dime of this commissions. And so I started doing that internally in house and found out we'd end up doing it better than everybody else for that very reason. Because we would lower the cost as low as we could possibly go while still keeping it tax-free. Yeah. And ever since then, the crazy thing is we never intended to become like, have infinite banking as part of our company. It was more like a necessity just because the market didn't have it. But now it's actually, we're becoming known for it, which is crazy.
Right. That is so interesting because you help people with the passive income side, just thinking about passive income. But then from there, it's like being the most efficient with your money. And I love everything we were talking about there. It's too bad that there's a lot, some of the bigger names out there like Dave Ramsey and other people poo-pooing the whole life thing and stuff where I'm like, I was definitely hardcore where life's horrible, all that stuff. And then someone put my eyes to this. it sounds like we had some of the same upbringing on that stuff. But then, someone opened my eyes to it. I was like, oh, okay, I totally understand, and I really like this. And there's, like you said, there's so many other benefits that you're just kind of listing off, like in the list. And even though our main topic was like, how could we pay ourselves twice? What's infinite banking? Like, what's that? It's like you were like, oh, you get the death benefit, and it's tax free, and like you've got some other things over here. It's like the list just kept growing. It's like, this is why. This is why. Then it's okay. You never have to really pay it back. And I see some of those things. It's like these are great boosts for someone who understands where their money's going and flowing and helping them. And then that's why I like what you do too, because you're really teaching people about money. Because it sounds like if you have too much bandwidth there, you could go to Vegas and you could blow it all. It's like, oh, hold on. Like, let's have a plan for this money. Like, mm-hmm. what should we do with it? And how should we pay it back? And like, okay, you are doing a marketing campaign. 9 months from now, do we need to start paying this back? It's like having someone right. like you, you're helping them, you know, like with that. So I love that as well, too, because a lot of people don't have that discipline built in, or they don't have the education around money just in general. So love what you're exactly. doing. I love that overview. That was a really great overview. And I do, we've had people on before talking about infinite banking. And I like how you clarified that if there's someone who is truly out there to help you, they're trying to get the cost as low as possible. So that way you mm-hmm. can have as much benefit as possible. And I like how, you know, like with your business, it's just, no, this is how we've built it in, you know, to everyone we work yeah. with. So no, that was a lot of great
stuff.
It's
funny stuff. When you get, it's funny when you get all those people like making it all complex and complicated. I'm like, they're like, in fact, there's one guy that said he was, I saw an email from one of our yeah. new clients just yesterday. And she's like, here's his reply. And he's a guy that's kind of popular in the space. He's got a lot of YouTube videos on it. Yeah. And he was like, well, nobody does it better than us. Like we do it the best and nobody can understand it. He's like, it takes him a while to figure it out. And I'm reading his emails. I'm like, I know I've been in the industry just as long as this guy, almost as long as this guy. Right. So I've seen it all. I've seen his stuff. And the truth was, is that he still couldn't address the concern that the client had, which is, yeah, but I'm paying $13,000 more a year for your plan. Like it's costing me, like, it's not like I'm making $13,000 more. It's right. costing me $13,000 more. And you say you do it the best. He's like, but, and like for us, the answer is simple. Make the cost as low as you can so the ROI grows as fast as it can. Like right. the lower the cost, the more money you have to play with and more money you can use in your business to then accelerate. And that's the key. The more you can get money flowing through your business, right? Again, we do take profits, but using that money to flow in your business to invest in good things. And your investment right. should, your business should be the number one investment because that's where you got the best ROI potential. Get the money there. Like use it there. Use it wherever you can to get the best return. But yeah, if you can use a little hack here, a little strategy that can give you a little extra leg up and make a little extra interest along the way, sweet, do it that too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, that's really good. I really have enjoyed this because we just need more people to educate, you know, like you said, educate people on finances, on how money really works. A lot of the stuff that we didn't learn growing up, or we had one mindset, like you had said, like save. Mm-hmm. Don't spend, you know, I had that same mindset. A lot of people are the, you know, they've got the other side where it's just like spend everything you've got. Like, so we see that in the entrepreneur space a lot too. So, you know, this has been a breath of fresh air. Is there any other last question here? Any other advice you'd want to give to the real estate investors or the people listening to the podcast?
I would just say this, no matter what business you're in, I mean, really focus on how do you get yourself free? How you get yourself to the point where you can fire yourself, right?
Yeah.
And whether it's generating enough passive income on the side, which is what I've done as well, and I've done both, getting enough systems in place so that you're kind of expendable to some degree. I mean, not as a leader, not as the person that way from a culture standpoint, but
yeah.
just get to the point where your business is an actual business. It can operate and run even without you. And then you've got enough passive income that you don't need it either. To me, that's the true definition of freedom, is that you yeah. have freedom from your business, freedom from your finances, your money. And then you have options. And when you have more options, that's where freedom comes from.
It's really good. Because then you're really working on what you want to in the business, outside the business, whatever that freedom yep. means to you. So that was really, really good. Just take his advice to heart. How do people get a hold of you? Like if they were like, okay, I need this help inside of my business.
And generally life. Through Carrier Pigeon. Yeah, you put a little okay. note in that pigeon's beak.
best answer yet.
Yeah, actually, I've never given that answer, but I like it. But No, honestly, you just go to like moneyripples.com. We've got tons of free education on there and there's ways to contact us. And even our podcast, feel free to follow that, the Money Ripples podcast that we have. We're now in our 10th season. So feel free to join us.
And you just recently crossed recording your 800th episode, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. You're number 804. So yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've been doing this a long time. You've got a lot of great listeners and you've got a great following there. So make sure you head over, listen to the Money Ripples podcast. He's got not only just great guests, but like great content, great education there. So follow him on the social media, all the different places as well too. Chris, this has been amazing. If you're out there listening to this and you're like, I need the basics of what he was talking about, profit first, I don't know where my money's going, I just need like the foundational steps, head over to simplecfo.com. We can at least give you those first steps. And then, you know, maybe we might be introducing you to Chris as well too, with no matter where you are right now. So thank you so much for listening. Remember to make profit a habit in your business. And Chris, thanks for being a great guest on the show.
It's been such an honor, David. Thank you.
This episode of the Profit First for REI podcast is over, but there are plenty more where that came from. Are you ready to learn how David and his team can help implement the Profit First system in your business? Schedule a discovery call at simplecfo.com right now. We'll see you next time on the Profit First for REI podcast with David Richter.